As always, at this time of week, time to join our expert on all things Vatican, Joan Lewis. Joan, you're just back from the Holy Land, but before we speak about that, which we will do in a moment, I think we'd better speak about Monte Cassino, because that's where Pope Benedict is on Sunday.
Our frequent flyer mile Holy Father, exactly, come back from one trip, and though it's a lot closer going on another trip.
A day trip, sure,
just on Sunday. And, I mean, as we are speaking, he will be leaving shortly, but we're doing this before the trip. And this monastery of Monte Cassino, that's the location, Monte meaning Mount, this monastery has the most incredible history and really goes back to St. Benedict, and where he founded the Benedictine Order, wrote his rule, and actually once he got to Monte Cassino, he never left. And it's like 80 miles, I think, south of Rome.
It's sort of halfway between Naples and Rome.
And Rome, exactly. And I have to admit, in all the years that I have been here, it's one of those things, I guess you'd have to have a car or, you know, somebody who knows the area take you. And I've not been to this casino, to Monte Cassino, which has been, by the way, rebuilt over the years since like the 6th century and was bombed and destroyed by the Allies during World War II and everything else. So now this is not, this is Benedict's first time as Pope to Monte Cassino, but he has been there a number of times as Cardinal Ratzinger. As a matter of fact, he was there in November of 2004. And he did celebrate Mass as Cardinal Ratzinger for the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. And then, of course, only months later was he elected Pope.
So, taking the name Benedict.
Taking the name Benedict, exactly. He's always had a great love for Saint Benedict, the rule of the Benedictines. And then he also admitted at that time that he took the name Benedict the 16th to follow his predecessor, Benedict the 15th, who was a man who sought peace in a time of war. We're talking about the, you know, First World War. But the important thing about Saint Benedict to note is that he wrote this Benedictine rule, which really became the founding principle, obviously, for Western monasticism. Now, I've forgotten what year he died, but he was canonized. I mean, it took us several hundred years. 6th century, right. And then he was canonized by Pope Honorius III in 1220. And this is actually the first monastery that he founded, is probably the best known of all the ones that St. Benedict founded. Now, when the Pope goes there on Sunday, there's really going to be four very salient moments. Obviously, Mass at the foot of the mountain for all the people who live in Monte Cassino. And I believe it's the first Mass said by a Pope at Monte Cassino. I don't have a note on that, but I do recall reading it. And then the second important moment will be the Pope is going to bless what's called the House of Charity, the Casa della Carità. And it's actually an old hospital that had fallen into disuse that the Lazio region of Italy gave as a place of welcome to the Benedictines. It is becoming a place of welcome for homeless immigrants. And the afternoon, the third important moment, will be the afternoon when the Pope spends that entire afternoon with the Benedictine community, abbots, abbesses, and so
forth.
From
across the world.
And
those who can
from
make
exactly.
It.
Exactly, from all across the world. And then he will also visit later in the afternoon before he returns to Rome, he will visit the Polish cemetery. These are for all the Poles who died. This is 65 years after the bombing of Monte Cassino in 1944, which did totally destroy the abbey, and it killed many innocent Italian civilians.
Because the Allies believed it was German headquarters.
Exactly. And I mean, there were actually, it was stunning, the diversity of opinion on it. And somebody, you know, no one's in there. There's really just civilians and abbots. And
of course, there were many bombings just once.
Exactly. But it was rebuilt for like the nth time in a 1400-year period. Yeah. There's fire. There's been so many things that have devastated the abbey. So it has a really incredible history. The vicissitudes of this abbey are certainly well known in history. But the cemetery that the Pope's going to visit, it's one of a number of cemeteries by nationality. And yeah, and like the Americans are at Anzio, and I believe the British are in Nettuno, and so there's a number of different cemeteries in and around that area, as you said, between here and Naples. So I know people are looking forward to this trip very much. The abbot announced it, I think it was last November or That's December right. when he announced that the Pope would be coming. And it just is a rather logical thing for Benedict to do, again, with his love of the Benedictines.
So, Joan, getting to your favorite topic, the Holy Land, one of your favorite topics,
I should say,
because you have many.
Yes.
If you're just back from the Holy Land, tell me your impressions about Pope Benedict's
It was travels. An incredible trip. I think if you look at the breadth and depth of where he went and who he saw, who he spoke to, you had Muslims and Christians and Jews in diverse locations, starting out with Jordan and the Muslim community, though there's a very good-sized Christian community in Jordan. And the wonderful reception. One moment really stands out in my mind. Not that I physically saw it because very few journalists were allowed in, but the mosque, the brand new mosque built by King Abdullah to honor his father, King Hussein, who had died 10 years ago. The mosque, I think it was dedicated in 2006. And the Pope was going to visit the mosque and then address a group of Muslims. This was led by Prince Ghazi, who, of course, is a relative of and an advisor to King Abdullah on religious affairs, interreligious dialogue, has been in Rome, has met the Pope and so forth. It was a very cordial, wonderful meeting, but what was amazing, the Pope went into the mosque, and he knows very well the tradition. Any of our listeners who have ever visited a mosque know you take your shoes off. And the Pope went to take his shoes off, went to lean over, and Prince Ghazi said, no, you don't have to. They had laid down a special carpet, a runner, across the mosque so that he could walk through the mosque. And no one else in the entourage had to take their shoes off, nor did Prince Ghazi, which is rather exceptional. I think that is Prince Ghazi showing his respect for Christianity. We don't have the habit of taking our shoes off. And he kind of, you know, bent over backward or bent forward, whichever way you want to say, to accommodate the Pope. So there were so many salient moments. I can't get Bethlehem out of my head simply because I spent 10 days there at Christmas. And so for the Pope to go into the Palestinian territories and to hear over and over and over again during the day the story of the wall, of the settlements, the Palestinians being locked into these territories, unable to work, and in a poverty. Of course, you have Gaza. The situation in Gaza, which exploded at Christmas time. But I did interview, I was, of course, in Bethlehem for the whole day for that mass, and I did talk to the pastor of the 250 Catholic faithful in Gaza. That was certainly another highlight for me. And it was very interesting, Gaza, the refugee camp, for heaven's sakes, because the eyes of the world through the media were for one entire day, focused on the Palestinians, on the Palestinian situation, and obviously the Palestinian and Israeli conflict. And, you know, if you said salient moments, we could do a half-hour show of
maybe
1 minute.
Sometime.
Right. And Yad Vashem, as far as the Jews are concerned, had to be an incredible moment. I honestly thought the Holy Father was going to cry. A number of us did. He had such anguish on his face as he read his discourse. Anybody who saw it on television knows what I'm talking about. And if you didn't, try and find the clip, because it's totally, totally amazing. Certainly, as a German, the millions of Jews that were killed, murdered in the concentration camps, this was his country. This was the country in which he grew up. He was a young man, teenager, maybe not even, when all of this broke out. But it was a moment in which you could just kind of sense his whole life going through his mind as he was saying those words about the atrocity committed on the Jews by Hitler. Many, many outstanding moments. And to listen to the Holy Father Wednesday, which we don't have time for, but to listen to the Holy Father Wednesday of this week at his general audience, when he summed up his trip, going location by location, Monte Nebo, Mount Nebo, where, of course, Moses saw the Promised Land and then died before he ever reached it. That was awesome. Praying the Our Father, with the Holy Father on Mount Nebo. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It really doesn't.
Well, thanks very much, Joan.
See you next week.
Heartfelt thanks there to Joan Lewis for sharing with us her expertise. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.